We're going to bring Brother Torin today to preach to us. And it's going to be specially anointed today. He's using my iPad, so I did that on purpose. That way I get to keep the notes when he leaves. I said, I'm not proud. I'll steal it if it's a good one. So in a couple of weeks, you'll say, man, we heard that somewhere before. No, this is a great young man. And several years ago, we were elected to the Sunday School Committee, and we were directing one of our first camps. And as parents usually do, we drafted our kids to help us. And Royal Taylor had just hit the mainstream. They were becoming known. So the Torin was at that camp that year, kind of slipped into the back. And Andrew was leading worship. And I'll never forget this story. Because when it was all said and done, Andrew came off of the stage. And Torin, I don't know if it was the back of the building, the front of the building, I don't know. But he high-fived Andrew as he came off the stage. And he said, man, great job tonight. And that impacted my son because someone believed in him. And I can tell you today that this young man is still that same young man that would walk into a youth camp, someone come off the stage, and he would say, man, you did a great job. I've heard him say it over and over and over this week. He is a man that prays. He has a walk with God. And I appreciate his ministry because he has been sensitive. And he's performed in front of thousands, but he's preached to us just as much with as much energy as he would perform in front of thousands of people. And I appreciate that. Not everybody would do that, but this young man has done that. We are going to hear from the Lord today. I told him before church to take his liberty, and he said, well, can I do this? I said, man, I trust you. You do whatever God tells you to do. And so I want him to come today. I want you to give your attention to this young man. And let him speak into your life today, would you? God bless you, Brother Torin Wells. Come speak to us today. Love you, bro. Thanks for coming.
Amen. Go ahead and give that to the Lord. He's the only one worthy of the praise and the accolades. God, we lift you up, Jesus. You are awesome. You are everything, God. We elevate you to a position of authority in our lives. You are Lord. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. You've been standing. Thank you so much for your worship. I love the atmosphere in the room. There are just some places that are different. And I'm thankful for this house, for this community of believers. You guys coming together and lifting up the name of the Lord has encouraged me so much. Great to be here with the McCools. All the McCools. I gave all the individual shout-outs on Friday. If you want to hear your shout-out, just go listen to the tape. I pretty much talked about everybody in the room. But seriously, thank you so much for having me. It's always an honor to be able to open up this book before people, and because it is life-giving. And thank you for making a space for me to do that. To my uncle, David Moorhead, thank you for your influence in my life. I know that you guys kind of have to put up with a lot of ADHD around here, and I'm ADHD as well. So we're going to be running all over the building this morning. Don't just be looking at me crazy, because we're going to turn up just a little bit, if that's okay. Is that okay? I said, is that all right with anybody if we just turn up just a little? Some of y'all looking at me like, I don't know what that means, sir. I don't like turnips. It's not my favorite. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can come together and worship you. I pray that you would open up understanding this morning, that you would speak to us with clarity. God, we trust you. We rely on you. We are not resting on personality, on might or power, but we are trusting only in your Spirit, God, to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, man. Props. Austin, can you put your hands together one time? a lot of speakers, like, there's this love-hate relationship between musicians and speakers, but I'm just all love for musicians because I've been in that role. And so I appreciate the whole band. You guys killed it. You know, I want to talk to you guys this morning about the will of God, okay? Now, that's kind of a big idea. Just saying it carries some weight when you say the will of God. There's been so much mystery in the will of God. There's so much unknown about the will of God, and it's kind of a daunting topic when you start to think about it. But I would like to unpack some particular things that I think will really help us this morning when we're discovering God's specific will and ways for our lives. You know, there are two types of people in the world, okay? I'm just going to break this down for you very simply. Two types of people in the world, y'all. There are those who plan, okay? And there are those who don't plan, right? Like, everyone falls into one of those categories, okay? We have the planners, and we have the people that just kind of like to feel it out, you know? We have the people that like the structure and the organization and the model, and this is where we're at, year one, year two, year five, year 10, year 20, and they just got it all planned out. Then there are the people that's like, you know, as it happens, what will be, that's in the Bible somewhere, I'm sure. You know, let it be. We're just like singing some Beatles. You know, this is going to be fine, guys. It's going to be fine. But I actually am more of a non-planner, to be honest. My spirit is too free for all of that. Now, I married a planner. All right. You guys think, well, yeah, I'm sure she, no, I married like a, like she's a planner, all right? Y'all don't get it. This is the type of woman that I have married, that I chose to marry, who will schedule so much so that I get email updates for trash day. See, my wife is a planner, okay? The highlight of her year is when she purchases her planner. Okay, now we can't just go to the store and buy a planner. No. That'd be way too simple. We can't just go to the store and buy the planner. We have to get online and custom design the planner for that year. There's different inserts and color schemes and binding and all this stuff. She actually has our pictures on the date for our special days. She's got little stickers that she puts in for dentist appointments, and she has the grocery bag sticker for grocery day. I mean, I married a planner. Now, it's a little frustrating at times when you're dealing with the planner and a non-planner personality, but I can say that I do at least appreciate there being a plan. I appreciate the fact that somebody has thought about this, that they have invested time. You know, there are a lot of perks to planning, I would even say. A good plan can help you avoid confusion. It can help you avoid chaos and disappointment and trying to kind of figure everything out. There are some perks to planning. With planning, you get some security, you know. You have some direction. Definitely some perks to having a plan. But, you know, my wife went to this space that I think should be a restricted website. It's called Pinterest. Now, let me tell you what Pinterest is for some of you that don't know. It's an app, okay, and you get on it, and Pinterest is basically this. Your wife staring at her phone for 3 hours and then bringing you some spinach in a mason jar for dinner. It's like, babe, I got a new recipe from Pinterest. That's very Pinteresting, okay? So she loves Pinterest, like gets a lot of inspiration for like tips and designer stuff and meal prep and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, let's limit the time on Pinterest. But there was one particular time where she decided that she was going to draw inspiration for our trunk or treat from Pinterest. See, every year my church has a trunk or treat. We have this event, maybe you have something similar to it, where you decorate your car, put some candy in the back, and let the kids come through. It's a safe place. you know, for the family to come and have some good time together. Now she got on Pinterest, and Pinterest gave her the idea that we're going to construct out of our SUV a Viking ship. I said, "Bet, yo, you did not marry Bob the Builder, okay? Can we build it? No, we can't, okay? It's just not going to happen." Now, I'm not that type of dude. Like, I try to replace the doorknobs in our house, and I was like, you know, I wanted to upgrade it a little bit, so I was going through, I had my little tools out, you know, trying to fix the door handles, and I can promise you that to this day, every single door handle has fallen off of the door at one point or another. Now we don't even talk about it. Like, it used to be like, hey, the door handle fell off the bathroom. And now it's just like, you take it off, you just stick it back on, you go on with your day. I'm not a handyman. That's not what I do. I'm comfortable in my gifts, and I'm comfortable to say, hey, that's not my thing. But we continue to try and build a Viking ship. So walking through Walmart, we had a picture, she had an example, but we had no plan to make that photo a reality. So without a plan, I'm left just trying to figure it out as I go along. So I'm walking through Walmart like, okay, we need a sale. All right. Well, we'll just go over to the bathroom section. We'll get us a little shower curtain. We'll put up the shower curtain. There ain't nothing duct tape can't do. So I go and get some red duct tape for the stripes. You know, we're just duct tape this. My wife is like, this is not good. We had so many moments where we really got to know each other throughout the progress of this, and we ended up building our Viking ship. I got a picture of it. Can you throw? This is us. This is our Viking ship. Now, some of y'all, you don't know how to respond. You can just laugh. It's okay. You're not hurting my feelings. I know it's not that great. Okay, but I did the best that I could without having a plan. Now, I like this picture because I have a full beard, which to this point is genetically impossible for me to accomplish. So I wore that for a few weeks. But sometimes we fail to realize that God works through plans, through systems and structure and order and design. He'll put a person usually in the middle of that plan to carry it out. God established this precedent from the beginning. The Bible says that in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That word there literally means idea, thought, or plan. So it could read that in the beginning was the plan, and the plan was with God, and the plan was God. From the onset of time, God had a plan, and that plan became flesh, and that plan dwelled among us. That plan materialized into a person, Jesus Christ. And 2,000 years ago, when there was so much cultural disarray, we have Jesus stepping in to offer the world what we now know as the plan of salvation. The plan is not a program, it's a person. It's an encounter and an experience with the God of the universe. There's a plan for you, there's a plan for your life, and that plan has a name, and his name is Jesus. You can take courage this morning, church. God has a plan. But let's keep it 100, man. Like, I'm a fairly analytical person as well. I'm thinking about things and processing things. And I appreciate the fact that there is a plan. But that leads me to my next question. What is it? Okay, great. Guys, I have a plan. It's all up here. I'm not going to tell you one. I'm the type of person that I want to know. Like, if there is a plan, tell me. Okay? One of the scriptures that we always go to be encouraged is Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Now, this is how we know that God is not a woman, because he says that he knows the plan. If it was a woman, we would all know the plan. I got the plan on my refrigerator for my day every morning. Okay, so forgive me for that. I know that God's a spirit. He's not male or female. Okay, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Awesome. God has a plan. But if I'm being honest, looking at this scripture, that is so vague. Like, I'm trying to go to college and get an education for a career that I'm going to invest in for the rest of my life. And I don't think that I can major in God's plans 101. Like, I need somebody to tell me what's really going on. I know that there's a plan, and the Bible says that blessed is the man who has his quiver full, talking about children. And, you know, my wife actually tricked me into having our first child. No, she didn't, but she did, though. Because I had a plan. I had a 5-year plan. I had a great plan. I said, 5 years, we'll talk about having kids so I can get all my stuff straight, you know? And she says, no, babe. We have to talk about it sooner than that, because it could take a while to actually have a kid. And I was like, oh, man. So I'm thinking, she said, how about 2 years? I said, no. We can talk about it in 3 years. That's why we can have the conversation. No, well, soon, having the conversation about having the conversation turned into having the actual conversation. And then I'm just walking into the room saying, let's have a baby. She had a plan, and her plan prevailed. But I often would like to ask God, like, could you please be more specific with what it is that you are trying to get me to do? Because I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll honestly go wherever you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll give what you want me to give. But if we could just be a little bit more specific, if you could give me the inside scoop, if you could reveal it to me. And yet many times he doesn't. And this is where we have to start understanding how God works. God works in a few different ways. One, we will call his works. God's works. This is God's sovereign plan, his purpose. This is a sequence of events that God initiates that no one can stop. When God has determined something will happen in the earth, it is going to happen. Nobody can stop it. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. God can put things into motion that human effort cannot. These are God's sovereign purposes and his will. Examples, God creating the world. This was God's sovereign will. He determined that he would have a creation, and that creation would worship him and give him glory. This was a part of God's will, the birth of Jesus. They tried to kill every child surrounding the generation of Jesus, yet they didn't get to Jesus. Why? God had a sovereign will. The way that he worked, nothing would stop it. The death of Jesus. Many schools of thought would say that his life was taken from him. No, he laid his life down. Acts says that it was actually a part of his deliberate plan, God's deliberate plan. And of course, the enemy thought that he would shut Jesus down forever. But of course, we know the rest of the story. He rose again on the third day. They tried to seal the tomb as tight as they could seal it. They put the strongest man out in front of the stone to ensure that Jesus could never escape. But yet, God's deliberate plan was carried through and carried out. And now we have a risen Savior whose power is living inside of us. And there is a passion within us to accomplish his plans. God has a plan. God has a plan for his church. He has a deliberate plan for this church in this city. He has a plan for his church globally. I hopped into an Uber cab the other day. If you were here Friday, you know what that is. It's where complete strangers drive you around and take your money. Hopped into an Uber cab, and this lady asked me, she said, "So, what do you do for a living?" I said, I sing Christian music. She said, "Really? So, how do you think the church is doing?" I had to just pause, because I want to answer correctly. I want to understand what she's asking me, and I thought about it. I said, "Well, the church is doing great. Thanks for asking." She said, "Well, what are you going to do about this issue? And what are you going to do about that issue? And I don't really see this going much further." And I said, "Well, you know, people have been thinking that for thousands of years now. And yet here the church is more powerful than ever, more on purpose than ever, more filled with passion and vision than ever. The church is doing great. In fact, my Bible says that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Thank you for asking, ma'am. The church is doing great because God has a plan for his church. God's sovereign will. Now we have God's ways. This is the second layer. God's ways. This is how we do life, y'all. These are the guidelines for following Jesus. The Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, biblical principles, love, humility, holiness, joy, generosity, kindness, patience. The ways of God. Now, the ways of God are clear, although they are not always easy. But they're clear. You can study them out. You can pinpoint them in Scripture. Then there's the third, God's personal will. And this is personal guidance for individuals. This is where most of us tune in. And when we say the will of God, this is what we're generally talking about. The will of God pertaining to moi. You know, we are our favorite subject. We want to talk about, I want to talk about me, want to talk about, I want to talk. See, I didn't know that I know country too. Don't judge me. I'll go, George, straight on you so fast you won't even know what happened. God's personal will and guidance. Now, we want to know these particulars like who, what, when, where, and why. And how? Yeah, we want to know exactly how it's all going to work. But can I ask you this question? And this is really getting to the crux of what I feel called to speak to you today. What if God is more concerned with us making his ways the focal point of our life and not the specific details of his will? See, we will run around asking questions, trying to get a glimpse into what God is ultimately doing in our lives, and forget that he has called us to just walk in his ways. What if we were more consumed living our lives, discovering, doing, and desiring God's ways, his thoughts, his principles, his character, his attributes? What if we were more focused on Jesus, as opposed to where we are going and how we're going to get there? Can I ask you this question? What if it's more about the path than the plan? We access the power of God's plans when we surrender to the God of the process. See, the plan is the will of God. The process is the way of God. The plan is God's personal will for us to live our lives, but the process is the journey that we walk in obedience according to God's ways. And when we focus on where we are going more than who we are becoming in the process, we are cheapening the power of what it means to follow Jesus. I know that you've heard it said that where there is a will, there is a way. But I would like to propose this idea to you, that where there is a way, there is a will. Because as long as you are walking in his ways, you will always be in his will. This is where we get caught up. we get caught up wanting to know the plan from start to finish. We get caught analyzing the track when God has told us to run the race. We pray, God, show me, show me, show me. Tell me, tell me, tell me. See, this is what I've found. We want God to reveal the concealed part of His will when God wants us to obey the revealed parts of His ways. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. If you worry about following God's ways, you're going to be on God's path. God doesn't always reveal the plan, but He always reveals the path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's more about the path than the plan. It's more about the person that we are going with than where we are going. But this is where I get caught up, man. I'm like, yes, Lord, I will walk in the path. I will do what it is that you ask me to do. But can we talk for a second about the pace? I'll walk in the path. Like, I trust you with the path, but I'm uncertain about the pace because there's something up here that I see. There's a destination. There's a picture that I have that I want to ultimately get to. And you've got me taking baby steps, like enduring this process of pain and agony. But do you know that in the process, if you will get your mind off of the destination and focus on the journey, you will realize that the joy is in the journey. A lot of people are destination oriented. They're getting everywhere they ever want to go. But along the way, there are some things that are left out in their character, things that are left out in their integrity. And when they get the thing that they've so desired their whole life, it ends up the weight and the pressure of it crushes them because they weren't willing to endure the pain of the process to get to the place that God. Yes, I know that you want an amazing marriage. That's absolutely awesome. What a great plan. What a great destination. But it's in learning how to do the little things well. It's learning how to put the right pieces in the right place. Yeah, I know you want to go to college and you want to have all these degrees and you want to have people know your name. That's really cool. But are you willing to endure the pain of the process? So that when you get to the place God has called you, you can handle it. Where there is a way, there is a will, and we've got to learn to trust Him with the pace. And if we are honest, we want God to speak to us and we want God to show up in our situations. Last minute, we invite Him in when it all falls apart and we want Him to give us guidance, but are we willing to do what we know to do until God shows us what to do next? Man, God, money's tight again this month. It's a struggle. Yet we have amazing teaching about the power of generosity, and you're being led by generous people and having opportunities to give selflessly in the offering, and you're wondering why the checkbook isn't balancing out at the end of the month, but you're not applying the basic principles of giving. Well, are you willing to do what you know to do until next happens? See, if you don't do what you know to do now, I would hate to tell you this, and I'm not a prophet, but next is not going to happen. Because God looks at people who are faithful over little things and makes them rulers over many. If you have your eyes set on next and you're missing the moment of now, you're never going to get to next, because everything that you're walking through right now is preparing you for where God is taking you. We have to surrender to the process. We've got to do what we know to do. Many of us, herein lies the problem, many of us are educated beyond our level of obedience. We know a whole lot, but we don't do very much with it. We know that we're supposed to love people and show compassion. Are we doing what we know? God's will is not a destination, it's a journey of walking in His ways. It's a journey of obedience. And obedience is like probably the heaviest word that you can say standing on a stage talking to adults. Okay? Like, when you're a kid, like, it's cool, obey me. And they're like, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. But when you're talking to adults, obedience. It's because we have this misconception of what obedience really is. We think that God is just walking around with a hammer, waiting to crush us when we mess up. Could I tell you that is the furthest thing from the truth? Are there consequences for bad choices? Yes, there are. But is God more interested in loving you and teaching you and guiding you and directing you? Absolutely, yes, he is. See, we fellowship with God in the context of a loving relationship. And and obedience in the context of a loving relationship is to listen and respond. That's what obedience is. God, what are you speaking to me? Who would you want me to talk to? How much do you want me to give? Where do you want me to go? We have to listen and then respond. And if we will be willing to do that, we will always walk in his ways. And we will always be in his will. You know, I know that many of us in the room, we've got questions, trying to figure it all out, trying to decide if Bay is the one. You'll never find the one until you make Jesus the one, and then you'll find the two. Somebody help me. All the parents said amen. Ooh. Wondering why you're not married, but you know you ain't acting like no wife now. You want to be the man of the house, but you can't even get out of bed to go to work in the morning. She don't want to marry a kid, son. She wants somebody that can handle his business. I don't even know what I'm talking about. You know, we find this interesting story in Scripture. John 14. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, his boys, the guys that he's been rolling with. Musicians can come. And he's trying to uncover some of the mystery of what's going to happen, because he's been saying a lot of weird stuff lately that they haven't quite been getting about how he was going to be crucified and how he was going to be buried and he was going to rise again. And he's trying to unpack all of this heavenly information for them. And John 14 says this: do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. You know, a lot of us are destination oriented. We want the place. We want to know where we're going and how we're going to get there. And we want to see the picture of where God is taking us. And the Bible is written with layers. So there's something that's being said that has an eternal significance, and then usually there's something being said that has a practical significance, like everyday life right now. And I think it's interesting that he says that in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? I feel led to tell somebody this morning that God has prepared a place for you. Now, we know that he's talking about a place in heaven with him for eternity, but he's also talking about right now in the here and now. There's a place for you. There's a place for you, sir. Yeah, I know you've been overlooked your whole life. I know you've been pushed away and undervalued your whole life. Can I tell you there's a place for you? There's a place here in this body, in this community for you. Yeah, I know people have not seen your worth and people have not seen your value, but there is a place for you. Yeah, I know that you're unique, man. You've got some things about you that rub people the wrong way a lot of times. There's a place for you. There's a place, and there's a place that he's prepared for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. for that where I am, there you may be also. Where is Jesus interested in taking them? Not to a place of success. Not to a place where we're making so much money. Not to a place where we have so much influence. No, he said, I'm taking you to myself. We have to take our eyes off of the destination. We have to take our eyes sometimes off of our goals. And we have to realize that Jesus is the goal. That Jesus is the destination. That there's no greater place that you can ascend to than the side and in the hand of God. He has made a place for you in his presence. And now you know, this is what he says, and now you know the way to the place where I am taking you. You know the way to the place I'm taking you. And this is what Thomas says. He says, Lord, now we give him a hard time. We throw so much haterade and throw shade at Thomas so much because he's got questions and, you know, he's always the last to believe it. That's us. Okay. Just let me suck the spiritual highness in your mind that you have right out your head. Just let me shrink it real quick. That's you. Okay. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Thomas is still not getting it. He's thinking destination. And he's thinking, man, how are we supposed to know where you are going when we do not know the way? How am I supposed to know how to walk this out? How am I supposed to know to carry this faith? How am I supposed to know how to speak to these people? How am I supposed to know to handle these relationships? How am I supposed to know how to handle all of these things and the details of my life? Jesus, you're telling me that there's a place and there's a destination, but how in the world am I supposed to know the way? How do I know the way out of this addiction? How do I get out of this place of brokenness and this cyclical dysfunction that I'm caught in? How do I know the way? Every relationship I get into, man, it's just, it falls apart. How do I know the way? And Jesus doesn't smash Thomas. He doesn't say, oh, ye of little faith. Do you know that you can come to God with your questions? You can come to God with your brokenness. You can come to God not having all the answers, and he's not going to crush you. This is what Jesus said. He said this. I am the way. Thomas, you've been focusing on the destination too long. I'm the way. You've been trying to look for all the wrong answers in all the wrong places when the answer has been in front of you the whole time. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And no one's getting to experience the power of my glory and the fullness of who I am except through me. I'm the way. I wish that we could capture this in our hearts this morning, that we could really get this in our spirit. We would stop trying to find our way in everything else. We would stop trying to find the way in a relationship, thinking that a person can complete us. We would stop trying to find our way with people knowing our name, notoriety and popularity. No, when you get Jesus, you've got everything. When you get Jesus, you have absolutely everything that you need. No one completes you, for I am complete in Christ. I am the way. As we stand this morning, I hope that this sets you free. Because I know that there are people in the room that have been asking questions, that have been trying to figure it out, that have been trying to put the right pieces in the right place. But as long as we try to keep the pieces in the right place, man, it's all going to fall through our hands. That's why I'm thankful that Colossians says, in Him all things hold together. There's a way this morning. There's a way. And His name is Jesus. I can't offer you any more than that. Jesus is the way. He is the truth that you've been looking for in a world full of lies. He is the life in a life that you've been living that is dead end after dead end, that just feels like you're surrounded by death. He's the way, man. He's the way. God, we come before you this morning believing that you are going to reveal not just your will, God, but you are going to allow us to walk in your ways. Lord, I pray this morning that you would come into our hearts, that you would begin to shift things around, that you would shift priorities around, that we would stop looking for the next raise, the next increase, the next bump, the next thing, and that we would start looking at you. That we would start looking for you, knowing that you are for us, God. Lord, that you are for us, that you are leading us and guiding us and protecting us and showing us where we should go and how we should live and the things that we should say no to and the things that we should say yes to. If there's anyone in the room that could help me pray this morning, I would pray that the scales would come off of our eyes. And that we would stop looking so much within ourselves, and that we would start looking to our God, who is an ever-present help in a time of trouble, who is a strong tower, who has an open door set before us that we can step through this morning. God, we refuse to continue to walk in our own strength. We refuse to continue to walk in our own might, left to our own devices. And we declare and we receive this morning that you are the way. Lord, you are making a way where there seems to be no way. You are making a way in the desert. You're making a way in the valley. You're making a way in our brokenness because you are the way. Hallelujah! Have your way, Lord. I'll say yes. I want you to know that these altars are open. Are you willing to take a step into the way? Are you willing to step out and move out of your own way? And take a step of faith? And say, God, I don't know the details. I don't see the destination. But I'm willing to know this, that I'm going to walk after you and trust in you and walk with you and you with me. Will you take a step into the way this morning? Yes, Lord. Stepping in your direction. We're stepping in your direction. We're stepping towards purpose. We're stepping towards